You're listening to a City on a Hill podcast. We'd love you to use and share this podcast, but please refrain from editing the content without permission from City on a Hill. If you'd like to know more about our church, or if you'd like to donate to the work of City on a Hill, please visit cityonahill.com.au.
We're going to hear from Dave Myers, our lead pastor this morning, where we're working, looking at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be hearing the words of the angels who announced the birth of Jesus, and we're going to consider what those words mean to us today. I'm going to read out Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, so grab out your Bibles, or the words will appear up on the screen. And at the end of the reading, I'm going to say, "This is the word of the Lord," and it'd be great if you could respond with, "Thanks be to God." "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." This is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, we ask that you would give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, as you take a seat, let me welcome you once again to City on a Hill today and wish you a Merry Christmas. It is a privilege and a joy to be together as God's people. Particular shout out again, hopefully you've already heard it, but those who are new or visiting with us, welcome. My name is Dave. I'm the lead pastor of this church, and we are so glad that you are here with us. We are a church that meets in an art house cinema with maybe some slightly awkward things written on the walls, but it also means that popcorn and Jaffers and wine and cheese are also welcome in our services, not just today, but if you join us again in the new year. Now, one of the things I've noticed in maybe the last decade as we've increased our digital footprint and the way that we're communicating online are the creative ways that couples announce both a pregnancy and the birth of their children. Has anyone else noticed that? It's like a competition to come up with new and better ways of making the announcement. Two that I enjoyed recently that I found on Pinterest. The first one here for a pregnancy announcement, a COVID announcement. Well played, quarantine. Well played. Product of quarantine until coming January 2021. There may well be a number of quarantine babies coming in January 2021. Then there's this second one where we've got little Peter. This is a birth announcement. His charge, stealing hearts. His plea, guilty. Now, they're creative, right? They're fun. They might be a little bit lame and tacky, but how's this for outdoing every other announcement? Lining up angels to announce a birth. Well, funnily enough, long before Pinterest creative ideas, and long before Instagram and Facebook announcements, the birth of Jesus Christ was announced by angels. That's kind of not going to be beaten, right? And angels announcing the birth of Jesus Christ highlights something of the significance of this one who was born. Now, the announcement of Jesus' birth was long awaited. And we've just sung the beautiful old Christmas carol, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Some of the lyrics, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. Free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." Now, many of you may not have been with us in recent weeks, but those who have been with us as a church, we've been studying the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet. And in Isaiah, we've seen God's people longing for the coming of a king, a Messiah, one who would come to rescue God's people once again. Now, God's people, Israel and Judah, have been judged by God justly because of their disobedience. But in the midst of so much judgment in the book of Isaiah, there's a major turning point in Isaiah chapter 40. After God's people have gone off into exile, taken off by a foreign power, the Babylonians, the Lord reminds the people that he hasn't forgotten them. And he gives them in Isaiah 40 a message of comfort, consolation, strength, and hope. God will show his kindness to his people once again. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, we read that this message of kindness and comfort is a message that must be heralded. It must be made known. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 9 says, "Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news." There's a good news message, a good news, glad tidings. The idea with the word good news is this is breaking news. We interrupt this program to bring you this update. And verse 9 continues, "Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God." What a message. This is a message from God. "Look, see, this is your God who is coming." Verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." Israel are told, your God will win the battle against your enemies. But not only will he flex his arm of judgment, he'll flex his arm of salvation. Verse 11, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young." Your God will come as a shepherd. He's going to come and rescue sheep with tender, loving care. This was the hope that Israel were given at the end of the Old Testament. That good news is on its way. Your God is coming and he will care for you. And so we fast forward to the New Testament, to the beginning of the New Testament, to the gospel accounts, the biographies of Jesus. And we're going to focus in on Luke chapter 2, one of the readings that we've already had for us this morning. If you have a Bible, keep it out, keep it open to Luke chapter 2. If you don't own a Bible, we would love to give you a gift of a Bible. So please see our welcome team out at the info desk after the service. We'd love to put a Bible in your hands. The verses will also follow along on the screen. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, if you've got a Bible, you can even just glance your eyes over that paragraph. We read about the birth of Jesus Christ. And then verse 8 says, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Shepherds doing what shepherds do, minding their own business. And then look what happens, verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." You can understand their great fear in the presence of an angel with the glory of the Lord shining around it. And yet, what does the angel say? Verse 10, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You have no reason to fear, shepherds. The message of that first Christmas and the ongoing message of the coming of Christ is good news of great joy for all people. I'm fascinated to even just see some of the links between what we read here in Luke chapter 2 and some of the ideas from back in Isaiah 40, written some 700 years before. In Isaiah 40, heralds will make this good news, glad tidings, breaking news known. And we read there, it's a message about how God will come to shepherd his people. Isn't it interesting and fascinating that this message is then made known to ordinary shepherds in the field? In Isaiah 40, the message is, hey, fear not. This is really good news. Listen up. In Luke chapter 2, as the angels come, the message is, fear not. This is really good news. Listen up. Now, maybe today you need good news. Personally, I'd love some good news today. It's actually been a couple of days of disappointing news. All of our extended family live in and around Sydney. And so we've been really excited and looking forward to seeing them. We haven't seen them since last Christmas, but we've had to press pause on our plans to kind of see how the COVID hotspots play out in the next few days. Now, here's the thing. The message about Jesus that the angels heralded to the shepherds 2,000 years ago is just as relevant today and good news for today, regardless of the bad news that perhaps you've just received. And so we listen up to what the angels say. It is good news of great joy for all people. And no matter who you are here this morning, whether you're religious or irreligious, weak or strong, good or bad, a blue-collar shepherd, those receiving this message, or a white-collar doctor, the one who penned this message, Luke, what the angels said to the shepherds is good news of great joy for you. And so what they say is good news of great joy for all people and reveals what we really need right now, what we really need at Christmas. You see, the reality is we have more important needs than the Queensland borders remaining open to New South Wales. You know, kids and, look, let's be honest, adults, we have to work hard as we compile our Christmas list, right? To discern the difference between wants, I want this, I want this, I want this, and needs. And so the big question we're going to ask this morning is, what do we all need this Christmas? There's three things. We're going to briefly move through the words that the angels said in their birth announcement to answer that question, what do we all need this Christmas? Who's ready for the first one? Come on. 8:30, welcome. That was like eight people. It's normally three. Well done. Number one, we need a ruler. We need a ruler. We are all ruled by someone or something, but we need a ruler. And the reality is we've failed to rule ourselves. We've failed to be ruled well by earthly rulers, governments, and so on. And we become enslaved to the things that we let rule us. But look at the good news that the angel declares about Jesus in verse 11. It says, "For unto you," this is a personal message, "is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The baby born on that day in the city of David is Christ the Lord. Now, what's it mean for Jesus to be Christ the Lord? Well, God's people in the Old Testament, Israel, God was their maker and God was their ruler. And yet they looked at the nations around them and saw that the other nations had kings and requested, "God, would you give us a king?" And look, to be honest, in part, the request to have a king was actually a rejection of God's rule of them. And yet God, in his plans, still provides them with a king. If we were to read in 1 and 2 Samuel, we would learn about the first king. His name was Saul, and he had all the physical attributes of a strong warrior leader, and yet he was selfish, weak, and a coward. The second king who came after him was King David. And he was a man who was actually described as one whose heart was after God's own heart. And yet, even David, as great as he was guilty of adultery, deception, and murder. And yet God, in his kindness, made some ridiculously great promises to David in 2 Samuel 7. Massive promises that a king would come from his family who would be established on the throne of God's kingdom for eternity. You know, over the last couple of months at City on a Hill, as we've been studying the book of Isaiah, we have been looking at some of the promises about this king. The king promised to David back in 2 Samuel 7. We continue to see in the book of Isaiah some of the images and some of the ideas of this king. This Messiah is the Hebrew word. Christ is the Greek word. Anointed one is the English word. But we can call it whichever one of those that we want. But this is the king. This is the ruler. And you know, the story of the rulers that followed David is messy. They failed to lead God's people as they should. They failed to lead as worshippers of God. They end up bowing down to the statues and the idols of the nations around them. Eventually, there's a civil war. The kingdom is divided. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Now, there's some good kings and then there's some terrible kings. And yet, by the end of the Old Testament, we're still waiting for the king who would rule with authority, the authority that comes from God himself. Now, the best show on Netflix at the moment is The Crown. Any other fans? Now, there's a few people laughing because, let's be honest, I've been talking about The Crown every second week for the last little while. But The Crown, it traces the story of the British royal family throughout the 20th century. There's fascinating stories. There's fantastic acting. There's beautiful cinematography. I'm halfway through the new fourth season. And just to put it out there, I need to declare my love once again. I love Queen Elizabeth II. She's awesome. And yet, as important as Queen Elizabeth II is, The Crown is not about Queen Elizabeth II. The Crown is about the crown. That's where the power and authority is found. And because Queen Elizabeth II happens to be the queen right now, people bow in her presence. They submit to her rule and her authority that she has as the one who is crowned. We need one who is fit to wear the crown, to rule over and have authority over us. The crown does not fit our heads. The claim of the angels is that Jesus is the one who deserves the crown. Jesus is the ruler we need. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Christ of Christ. He is the king that we all need. Now, some of you need to hear this today because some of you are trying to rule your own life and it is not working out well for you. You are in a mess. You need one to rule you who is fit to rule. Jesus is the one who made you. He is your maker. He alone is fit to come and rule you. Do you know your need of someone to rule you? Let me urge you this morning to hand over control to him. This baby that was born is Christ the Lord, the Master. Give him the control in your life that is rightfully his. Question, what do we all need this Christmas? Number one, we need a ruler. Number two, for those taking notes, is we need a rescuer. We need a rescuer. We all need someone to rescue us from our circumstances. Have a look at verse 11 again. What does it say? It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Not only is Jesus Christ the Lord, he is the Savior. And the natural question is, if a Savior has been born, what do we need saving from? Now, God's people in the first century, they thought that they needed to be rescued from the Roman occupying forces. Now, look, it was a relatively peaceful time in many ways, and yet they were still enslaved. And Israel hoped and longed for liberation. And yet there was something deeper that Israel then and us today need to be rescued from. They and we need to be rescued from sin and death. Now, what is sin? Sin is a failure to honor God, to love God as God, to treat God as God. It's a failure to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's we sin in thoughts, in words, and in deeds. It's when we break the rules that God has set up in his world. It's when we make up our own rules as if we are in charge in this world. And as we've already said, when we try to wear the crown and when we try to rule, we mess things up terribly. And we're all guilty of sin and rebellion against God. And we need saving from our sin. But we also need saving from death. Death is the just consequence of sin from a holy and righteous God upon those who've rebelled against him. We need rescue. There's, I guess, death in two senses. When sin comes into the world, physical death comes into the world, but also spiritual death comes into the world. We won't be spared from physical death, but the deeper death that we need to be spared from is spiritual death, is eternal death. And the offer in Christ the Savior is that he offers to rescue us from our sin and from eternal death that we deserve. Well, summer has arrived. It's been 607% humidity the last few days. Wake up sweaty. It's disgusting. And so I don't need to convince you that it is time for the beach. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, from July 2019 to June 2020, 248 people tragically drowned in Australia. Now, men accounted for 80% of drownings. According to the Royal Life Saving Society and the Surf Life Saving Australia, men aged between 25 and 34 were most at risk because of alcohol, drugs, risk-taking behavior, and they don't need help, right? Refuse to ask for help. Men are stupid. I'd love to say I'm in that age category, but I'm older than that now. But men are foolish. We think we can get ourselves out of trouble. We get ourselves in the mess and we try to get ourselves out of trouble and we end up drowning in our troubles. I'm guessing women likewise try to get themselves out of trouble too. But Jesus is the rescuer we need. We are all drowning in sin. We are all deserving of death. And it would be foolish to ignore the coming of a Savior, to try and get ourselves out of our own mess. You see, Jesus heralded as Savior at his birth by the angels shows himself as Savior not only in his birth, but also in his perfect life and the compassion that he shows the different people. And ultimately, in and through his sacrificial death. You know, we read in Isaiah 40 of how God would come to shepherd his sheep. Ultimately, the way that God has come to shepherd his sheep is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the good shepherd. And the good shepherd comes to lay down his life to rescue the sheep, to care tenderly for those who know they need to be cared for. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." You see, Christ, as Savior, suffered once for sins. His sacrifice on the cross. He, as it says there, was the righteous one dying in the place of the unrighteous. What does that mean? It means he is the perfect one dying in the place of those who aren't perfect. He is the holy one dying for the unholy, the innocent dying for the guilty, the sinless dying for the sinners. And he does that from a shepherd heart, from a desire to rescue us from our own mess, from our own sin, from our own death. As Jesus dies on the cross, he not only has lived the perfect life on our behalf, he sacrifices himself. He dies the death that we deserve. He takes our sin upon himself. And death could not hold him down. He rose from the dead He is alive. And the angels have insight. They know of the saving work that God the Son has come to accomplish. That in that moment as they herald the birth, this is a Savior. The reason he was born was to save his people from their sin. Not just to rescue Israel from Roman occupying forces, but much more importantly, to rescue all people who would trust in Jesus from our sin through his death and resurrection. Look, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, we just want to say welcome once again. And we want you to come back in January. We want you to join us week by week as we consider Jesus. And we're really glad that you're with us. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, to see that your greatest need is not education, is not financial, is not political, is not material. Your greatest need is to be rescued from sin and death. Hear the voice of the heralds, the voice of the angels. Jesus is the Savior that you need. Now, what do we all need this Christmas? Number one, we need a ruler. Number two, we need a rescuer. And the third and final one is number three, we need a reconciler. Now, reconciler is not a real common word, but it works for alliteration. And it wouldn't be a Christmas sermon without alliteration. But what is it? What does a reconciler mean? Well, it means that he comes more than just to rescue us from our sin, but to bring us back to God, to restore our relationship with one another, but also restore our relationship, reconcile us to God. Have a look at verse 13, Luke chapter 2, verse 13. It says, and suddenly, okay, we had one angel. Now, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. I love the response of the angels. Well, glory to God. Praise be to God for the birth of this Savior and King. But did you notice there what this Savior and King will bring? And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This Savior comes to bring peace. Peace with one another, but ultimately peace with God. Now, it says those with whom he is pleased. Who is God pleased with? Well, we read elsewhere in the Bible that God is pleased with those who have their faith in Jesus. Without faith in Jesus, no one can please God. The only ones that God is pleased with are those that are trusting in his Son. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in 1914, thousands of British, Belgian, and French soldiers put down their guns, stepped out of their trenches and spent Christmas mingling with German enemies along the Western Front. Now, this Christmas truce included the singing of Christmas carols, the exchange of cigarettes, food and gifts. And according to some accounts, there was even a soccer game that took place on the battlefield. Now, it was a remarkable moment of peace, only a few months into World War I. But as history shows, it was only a moment of peace. World War I would eventually claim 15 million lives. And the last century, the 20th century, has shown that any time a war is over, it's only a matter of time before the next one begins. You know, the peace that Jesus offers is everlasting. It is peace now, and even more so in the age to come. No longer at war with one another. No longer at war with God. You know, the church, Christians, gathered people, God's people in this world, we're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but in the church, week by week, year by year, we actually have the opportunity to live out reconciled relationships. We have the opportunity to be united with people who are very different from us. And so believers, let's keep striving to live out the peace that we have with one another in this life. But let us also know that the greatest peace is peace with God. The war is over. We can know him. We can love him. We can be known by him. We can be loved by him. Reconciled, restored, and at peace. That Jesus rose from the dead 3 days after dying guarantees that he will rule, rescue, and reconcile forevermore. You see, what do we all need this Christmas? Well, it's the same thing we need every Christmas. It's the most important thing that we need in this life. And we need, number one, a ruler. Number two, a rescuer. Number three, a reconciler. Look, for the many of us here who are already followers of Jesus, you know, we've spoken about in the recent weeks that Advent is this season of preparing for Jesus' coming. We do that as we remember his first coming and as we hope all the more for his second coming. And so I want to remind you again this morning that regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in, you have everything you need in him. And therefore to hope all the more in his glorious return. And you know what? While we wait for that day when he returns, we keep giving ourselves to heralding the good news of great joy for all people as we give ourselves to making Jesus known too. But look, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, again, we are so glad that you're here, but I want to encourage you today to consider how you will respond to Jesus this Christmas. You know, for the last 2 years, I've researched investing in Bitcoin. I'm fascinated by cryptocurrencies. I don't even know what they are. And while I've had the desire to invest in it, I haven't yet followed through with it. Now, the graph on the screen, screenshot from this morning, shows how much Bitcoin has grown this year. It's ridiculous. Even if it took me a year to get myself together and invest in January this year, can you look at how much Bitcoin, whatever it is, has grown? In part, I kick myself for not having followed through with it sooner. And yet, it doesn't really matter. There's actually no guarantee that it won't crash and burn tomorrow. If Jesus is not currently your ruler, your rescuer, your reconciler, I want to urge you this morning to see the certain hope you will have if you follow through with Jesus. You need him and what he offers more than any investment in this world. You need him and what he offers not only for this life, but for eternal life that belongs only to those who trust in Jesus. The funeral of an unbeliever is tragic. I heard even this week from my wife, Ro, talking about colleagues as they spoke about people who aren't believers, claiming some type of hope. You go your whole life rejecting Jesus and then think at your funeral that you can have some type of hope for eternal life in the age to come. Eternal life is only for those who trust in Jesus with this life. Invest in Jesus in this life. You know, perhaps you've been observing Jesus, considering who he is and what he has done for many years, but you're actually yet to invest in him. What would stop you from doing that today, this year, this moment? From giving glory to God by recognizing that Jesus is your ruler, rescuer, and reconciler? What would stop you from becoming a Christian? Look, you might still have questions about Jesus and Christianity. That's okay. So do I. I'm the pastor of a church. Still got a stack of questions. Happy to catch up with you over a drink and share some of my questions. But perhaps you've heard enough and you want to invest in. You want what Jesus offers to you in the gospel. You know, a Christian is someone who says three simple words of faith to God: sorry, thanks, and please. God, I'm sorry for my sin. God, thank you that Jesus died for me and rose again. Please help me to live now with Jesus as my King. And look, you may still have stacks of questions, but maybe you're ready today to actually make a step like that and say those words, sorry, thanks, and please to God. And so I'm going to pray a prayer right now. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I'm going to leave a little space after each line as I talk sorry, thanks, and please. And I want you to pray out loud in response to the prayer that I pray as an opportunity to take that first step in becoming a follower of Jesus. If you want to pray this prayer for the first time, you won't be alone, because I want to invite everyone here who's already prayed a prayer like this before to pray it again. Not that you need to keep becoming a Christian every time a prayer like this is prayed, but it's actually a great pattern of prayer, of confession, of thanksgiving, and of requesting to God. Sorry, thanks, and please. And so if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to pray this sorry, thanks, please prayer. I'll leave a little gap. And if you can repeat out loud, whether for the first time or for the thousandth time, a prayer like this, let's pray and trust that God hears us in our prayer. Dear God, out loud, dear God, I am sorry for my sin. I am sorry for rejecting you. I don't deserve your love. Thanks for sending Jesus to die on the cross. In my place and for my sin, so I may be forgiven. Thanks that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me. Help me to love Jesus and live with Jesus as my King. Amen. Amen. Hey, good news. If you prayed that prayer for the thousandth time, God still loves you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, that is remarkable. And that is a moment of celebration. That is something to give thanks to God for. And we would love to hear from you. We would love to help you with next steps in understanding what it means to be a Christian. And so as I invite the band out the front, I'll invite you, likewise, to all of us stand, and I'm going to pray one more time as we close out our sermon. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for the prayer that we've just prayed. And Father, thank you perhaps for those that have prayed it for the very first time. Father, we pray that you would indeed do a work in them and help them and help all of us to see that Jesus is our ruler, that Jesus is our rescuer, that Jesus is our reconciler. Father, we ask that as we are even sent out from this place this day, you would help those of us who already call on the name of Jesus to give glory to you in the highest, to know the peace that is ours through him who lived a perfect life, who died a sacrificial death, who triumphantly rose again. And Father, may you send us out as heralds of this good news of great joy for all people. We pray this for our own joy. We pray this for your glory. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about our church, or if you'd like to donate to the work of City on a Hill, please visit cityonahill.com.au.